I want you to understand that God is Father in creation, Son in redemption, and the Holy Spirit in regeneration. That the whole triunity of who God is, and yet he is one, has been so perplexing that the church has been arguing about it for hundreds of years. Some saying he's one and not three, some saying he's three and not one, when in truth, you can't numerically define a God that is omnipresent and omniscient. If he's omnipresent and he's in all places at all times, he's here and there, he's past and present, he's future, he's God. And so it's mystical. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. But for the purpose of us understanding him from the aspect of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when God created man in his likeness and in his image, he created one man. So behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and beside him there is no other. And yet that man has three parts. He is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. Those are three things. He's spirit, he has a soul, he lives in a body. And each one of those three things gives us a different awareness or a different level of consciousness. I'm going to slow down a little bit because I want to make sure you get this. In my spirit, I have God consciousness. In my spirit, it's in my spirit that I know God. I know God in my spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the most likeness that I have of God is in my spirit. Ephesians 2 and 1 said, and you had been quickened, which means made alive, who were dead in the trespasses of sin. So in other words, the day that Adam was a partaker of the fruit, God said, the day you eat of that tree, you should surely die. Well, Adam kept walking. His body didn't die. His soul didn't die, but his spirit died. That's why Ephesians 2 says, and you had thee quickened or made alive who were dead in the trespasses of sin. So what does that mean, his spirit died? I'll tell you exactly what it means. In the scriptures, death does not mean the cessation of life. It means separation. In other words, the day you eat of the tree, thou shalt surely die, you will be separated from me. Sin separates man from God. In the same way, when we die physically, the spirit is separated from the body. The body is in a casket, but the spirit is not there. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, 5:1, for we know if this earthly house or tabernacle shall be dissolved, we have another building. So this body is just a house. It's just a tabernacle that is fading away. It's my body that's aging. It's my body that has a birthday. My spirit doesn't have a birthday. He told Jeremiah in chapter 1, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, I ordained thee, and I sanctified thee to be a prophet unto the nation. So God said, I knew you before I formed you. How did you know me? You knew me by my spirit, because my body hadn't been formed yet. So in my spirit, I have God consciousness. In my soulish realm, which houses my memories, my affections, my emotions, my appetites, my pain, all of that, it goes on in my soulish realm. In my soul, I have self-consciousness. God formed Adam's body in the book of Genesis and breathed into him the breath of lives, and he became a living soul. He breathed his spirit into him. He breathed his spirit into the body. And when the spirit and the body came together, he formed a soul, self-consciousness. It's in my soul that I have self-consciousness, my mind, my memory, my emotions, all of that, that realm that can be so complicated. That is the area where I have self-consciousness. I'm aware of myself. I don't want to be here and not be aware of myself. And we've seen people do that where they were still alive. They didn't know they were alive. The body was there. The body's still working. They're still breathing, but they don't know that they're alive, because it is in your soul that you have self-consciousness, okay? That's the area where I have to wrestle. That's the area that God has to apprehend. That's the area that I have to bring up under subjection. That's the area that I have to be transformed, according to Romans 12 and 2, by the renewing of my mind. It has to be renewed. Now, spirit is new. If I'm saved, it's born again, made alive, according to Ephesians 2. But my soulish man is being renewed. I am saved in my spirit. I am being saved in my soul. I shall be saved in my body. That is my blessed hope. So in my soul, I have self-consciousness. Let's go back. In my body now, let's go forward. In my body, I have world consciousness. The only reason I know what temperature it is, or roughly what temperature it is in the room, is because I have a body. Dead people don't get cold. They don't get hot, you know, because when the body is dead, I lose consciousness with the world. It doesn't matter that the wind is blowing. It doesn't matter because my body is dead. My body connects me with this world, and it's in the body that I have world consciousness. Now, let's review that just for a minute, because that's going to help us set some groundwork. I'm taking some time with some things today, but this is Bible class. So it's in my spirit that I have God consciousness. We give a litany of scriptures to talk about that. It is in my soul that I have self-consciousness. And it is in my body that I have world consciousness. Okay? So then the Bible says in Acts 2 that they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter, what must we do? That means that the word had penetrated their spirit. They were pricked in their hearts, in their spirit. It doesn't mean that they were pricked in this thing that I have up here that's pumping blood through my body. It's not my biological heart. It is my spiritual heart. They were pricked in their hearts, because if you pricked me in my real heart, in my physical, biological heart, I would probably bleed to death and die. So we know that they weren't pricked in their organic heart, but they were pricked in their spirits. They were pricked in their spirits and became aware of God, and all of a sudden submission came, and they said, what must we do? And Peter told them, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All of that's in Acts 2:38. What I want you to get out of it is a better understanding of the three different parts of you, because they don't always come into agreement easily. And sometimes we have turmoil, and sometimes we lay down at night and we don't rest well, and we toss and turn because there's a fighting going on. Paul said, there's a war in my members. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Maybe my spirit wants to do a good thing, but my mind is so scarred and so damaged and so wounded, and I'm holding so many issues in my mind that evil has opportunity to attack me in my mind. There's a war going on for the mind. For it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. And the enemy doesn't want you to have any peace in your mind. So unless you let the peace of God ooze out of your spirit and calm your mind, sometimes it's difficult to get rest at night. Then there are sometimes that we're awake because our body maybe is stressed, it's aching, maybe it's tired, maybe we've got knots and all sorts of muscle contractions that are stopping us from getting rest. So you've got three parts of you to contend with. Without any company, without any visitors, without any companion, getting agreement in yourself is hard enough, because there are three different parts of you. Not to mention the fact that I am a spiritual being, and I'm also an emotional being, and I'm also a sexual being, and I'm also just all types of different parts of me exist. A biological being, and all of those have to be fed. I'm an intellectual being. All of that has to be fed. I can feed my body, but I haven't fed myself intellectually. I can be intellectually bright, but I can be emotionally deficient. I've seen people who were excellent students, but they were emotionally deficient. You know, there's all these different parts of us to be managed in order to understand who we are.